Isaiah chapter 56. Now this is the second in our series of the seven deadly sins. Last time we dealt with sloth, laziness. Now that I'm in my 60s, I'm not quite as hard on that as I used to be. It's not laziness, it's just running out of steam. There's a difference. Yeah. You look like you're there now. All right. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. See why I talk like I do? It's the way God talks. All them Presbyterians and Methodists and Catholics and Episcopalians, they missed it. They want to talk highfalutin. God just talks ordinary. They cannot mark sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Let's pray. Father, help us now to preach tonight and teach. May the Word of God speak to our heart. Help us to examine ourselves. Get our life, our heart, and our mind in tune and in touch with Thee. We'll thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there is a whole host of sins in them three verses. But we only want to call your attention to one. In verse 11, it said, yea, they are all greedy dogs. The second of the seven deadly sins is greed. Greed is a nasty, nasty, ugly little animal. I remember, well, let me read you the definition of greed first. Maybe this will make more sense, be more appropriate. The Noah Webster 1828 semi-inspired Dictionary of the English Language says greed. Now you have to remember the different things greed can be. Excessive desire for getting or having. That's almost every American you know. Especially people who have computers. Because they want every new toy that comes out. It's never fast enough. They've never got enough gadgets. Used to, they just wanted a computer to mess around with. Now they got to have the scanners and the fax and all that nonsense. So anyway, excessive desire for getting or having. Especially wealth. Desire for more than one needs or deserves. Wanting or taking all that one can get with no thought for others' needs. An insatiable desire to possess or acquire something to an amount inordinately beyond what one needs or deserves. Now you can see then that greed covers a lot of ground. Some years ago, our church was up in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and we were having a church dinner. I think it was a Saturday afternoon. We had another church or two over and played some ball and horseshoes and this, that, and the other. The ladies fixed a whole bunch of stuff. We had a church member at that time named Eugene. Now, I can't remember what Eugene's last name was. And I'm not hearing you. And I have desperately tried to forget Eugene's first name. Eugene's the only church member I ever had that I wanted to hit. Matter of fact, he's the only church member I would have hit if my wife hadn't got in my way. But I didn't like Eugene for a number of reasons. But one of them was Eugene was greedy. We had this big dinner, And there's all kind of folks there, probably 35, 40 people, a bunch of kids. And Eugene was the first one in line. Do what? In his 30s? Late 20s, early 30s? He's an idiot. Eugene was the first one in line. He went through the line and he heaped that plate up like this. He had two chicken breasts, two pieces of pie, potato salad, and I can't remember all the other stuff, but I remember them two big chicken breasts and them two big pieces of pie. He just heaped that thing up. He didn't care whether anybody else got anything or not. Now, see, anybody with any common sense and any decency about them, when you go someplace like that, you don't load up. You just get a moderate amount, get enough, and then if you're still hungry and there's anything left, you can get seconds. But a lot of times you go places like that, you want to be careful how much you eat. It's just being polite. You don't know how much has been fixed. Eugene didn't care how much had been fixed, and he didn't care whether anybody else got anything or not. Eugene was going to make absolutely sure that Eugene got all Eugene wanted. And so he was first on the line. He just loaded that plate up. We got through eating, and there was some leftovers. There usually is. We always try and fix enough and to spare. And the first one in line to get the leftovers to take home was Eugene. You know what Eugene's problem was? He's just greedy. He wanted his with no regard for anybody else. That's an ugly thing. Now, there's all kinds of ways to manifest greed, and we'll talk about some of those in a minute. Let me show you what the Bible has to say about greed. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. That's to want gain inappropriately. That's to want more than you need, more than you can use, more than you have a right to, and want it so that you'll take inappropriate measures to acquire it. They're greedy of gain. They live for it. They think about it. That's what their world is. That's all they think about. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Greedy people are always stirring up strife, always stirring up trouble, because the greedy, in order to get all they want, trample on other people or do things they ought not to do in order to acquire the things that they want. Greed is ugly. Some folks can just never, ever have enough. There was a cartoon in the newspaper a couple weeks ago, and I meant to cut it out and save it, and I got busy and did something else. But it was that little Born Loser comic strip. And the loser guy, whatever his name is, comes into his boss, and the guy's got money bags sitting all around his office. You know, if you've watched that cartoon strip, you've seen that. He's got money bags all over. And the guy says, why do you always working to make money? Don't you ever have enough? He said, you can't even count all your money. And his boss said, if you can count exactly how much you have, you definitely don't have enough. The idea is, people who are greedy by nature who have cultivated their greed are never satisfied. I don't care how much you got. It just never is enough. Bill Gates has got more than he can ever use. You think he's going to give up or quit? No. He's going to get all he can. And you say, well, he gives some to charity. Yeah, percentage-wise, he gives less than you do. Most of them rich people do. Here's some guy gives $100,000 to charity. Now, that sounds like a lot of money. But when he made $65 million last year, that's not much. Amen. So what do he want with it? He wants it for himself. Tiger Woods, I think he made 60-something million last year, just bought a piece of land for $38 million. He owns a 135-foot yacht. He's got more money and lives higher on the hog than you can imagine. And you know what? He wants more. You say, well, if I had half that, I'd be happy. I wouldn't count on that. Generally speaking, if you're not content with what you have, you wouldn't be content no matter what you have. Remember when you made $15,000 a year and you just barely got by? And now you make 50, 60, whatever it is you make, and you still just barely get by. Used to, you'd say, if I could make $50,000 a year, I'd be happy. Not anymore. Now you want to make $100,000. You got to watch that greed thing. Proverbs 22, verse 25 and 26 said, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuseth to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long." The guy's too lazy to work, but it doesn't keep him from being greedy. You ever notice that some of the people on welfare are as greedy as anybody you ever met in your life? That's why they're on every giveaway program there is. They don't just take food stamps, they got food stamps and WICs. And when Christmas comes around, they don't just go to one place that gives away Christmas baskets and whatever, they go to everyone in town. I've seen them fuss because they didn't like the brand name of what was being given away. You know what they want? All they can get. They don't care where it came from, don't worry about who it costs anything, as long as they get theirs. 1 Timothy 6, verse 5 and 6. "Men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such turn away. But godliness with contentment is great gain." Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a vast difference between wanting enough to be comfortable and meet your needs and wanting excess. Wanting for the sake of wanting. Wanting beyond your need. Wanting beyond your comfort level. That's where greed begins. Everybody wants enough to be comfortable and to be secure, and there's nothing wrong with that. And you're supposed to work to that end. And some folks, you know, they get to a certain level and they're pretty happy and pretty content. And as long as they can maintain that, they're just happy as a bug in a rug. They go about their life, living their life, enjoying their life. Here's this next guy at the same place in life. He is discontented. He still wants to advance. He wants more. He wants better. Not because he needs it, just because he wants it. Now, I don't know exactly where the line is all the time, but I know there's a line between having sufficient and being greedy. A lot of times it's manifested in attitude and what one is willing to do to get those things they want. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible said, "Be content with such things as you have." If God's given you enough to get by and be comfortable, be content. I don't think that it means that you shouldn't be glad if more comes your way. If God blesses and gives you more, thank God for it. But to strive to have more, to vex your mind in trying to find ways to have, that's a demonstration of greed. It's a mindset thing. And Americans are almost to the point where, as a nation, we are greedy. The average American never gave one second thought to being content with such things as they have. We are programmed from our earliest childhood to want everything there is. and to want the best. Americans don't buy plain Jane anymore. If it doesn't have the bells and whistles, we don't want it. We're not worried about having a car that will be dependable and get us back and forth to work or take us where we want to go. We want the six-changer CD. We want the phone in the steering wheel. We want dual heat and dual air conditioning controls. Heated seats and defrosted windows. And we want that with our stereo, with our computer. Americans pay $2,500 for a washer and a dryer. To get load control, temperature control, 14 rinse cycles. And all you need is about two. You know, you can buy a washer and a dryer, you can get the whole set for $500. And it's got the same motor and the same agitator in it. And the people who buy that fancy stuff never use 90% of what they get. You can't make an iPod fancy enough. You've just got, they want to add more to it and more to it and more to it and more to it. And you don't use two, but it would be a sin in America not to have the latest model. Not to have the one that'll do all that it'll do. We're consumed with it. We teach it to our children. I get mad. It irritates me no end. When adults brainwash children about brand names. It's not sufficient that you have a pair of dungarees on or tennis shoes on. It's got to be a special pair of tennis shoes. It's got to be a special pair. See what it, it's part of greed. It's wanting the best and the highest and all that you can get. It's part of the mindset of the greedy. You know something? Brand name tennis shoes don't wear any better than non-brand name tennis shoes. That is, if they fit. Amen? And Walmart dungarees will cover your butt just like whoever it is that's in style these days. But part of our greed culture is to acquire everything that's out there, and it has to be the best of it. Or we're just not happy. You talk to young people these days, and you say, where'd you get them tennis shoes? They don't say that. They say, what'd you pay for them? And if you didn't pay $200 for them, they're not interested. They're more interested in what it cost than what it is or where it came from. Now, that's a pathetic situation we find ourselves in. Be content with such things as you have. If you can afford $100 tennis shoes or whatever they cost, if you can afford it, I guess that's all right. But if you can't afford it, you ought to be content with a $20 pair. And thank God for the $20 pair. Amen? But we may wear the $20 pair and fuss about it and be dissatisfied with them the whole time because our greedy nature wanted the $200 pair. We can give you a dime for all them brand names. 1 Timothy, I just read that one, didn't I? No, 1 Timothy 6:8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Americans have a problem with contentment because of their greed. Our house is never big enough or fancy enough, or it's not in a big enough, fancy enough neighborhood. Or if we can afford a Ford, we want to buy whatever's high-end, BMW or whatever it is. I said an automobile. I'm not talking about Fords. You understand my point? It's a mindset about maintaining an image or satisfying a lust in the mind to have. That's greed. However that's manifested, the root of it is greed. Now, where am I at? Give me an example. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Gehazi, remember him, was the prophet's servant, goes to Naaman and asks for 2 talents of silver, and gets 2 talents of silver and 2 suits of clothes. Now, he worked for another fella, and the other fella met his needs. He'd been living on it for years, and he lived on it for years after that, because 8 chapters later, he's still serving him. So he makes sufficient, but he was greedy. He snuck out in direct disobedience and went down and begged for the reward. He could not be content with what he had. He took inappropriate action, did things he ought not to have done in order to acquire material goods. He had a greedy streak in him. He wanted more than he had and more than he needed. Remember over in the New Testament, the rich man who filled his barns up, and he said, I have much good stored up for many years. And then he gets a big harvest in, and he said, what shall I do? This is what I'll do. He said, I'll tear down and build bigger. He had enough laid by forever. It's like the farmer told the preacher. The preacher said, we got enough ham and stuff and chickens laid away and canned goods, you know, for this winter and next winter. And we got a crop in the ground. It'll probably get us through the next year. But after that, I don't know what we're going to do. Amen. Can't have enough. There's no place to trust God anymore. And there's no place for contentment in American society. We never want to take what we have and enjoy it. We're always thinking, well, I wish I'd have bought so-and-so instead of this one. I wish I'd have went ahead and spent the extra money and got this little doodad and that little doodad. Why don't you be happy with what you got? Well, because there's something that's been touted as bigger and better, and we want it. Especially Tommy. Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, it said, and I saw among the goods a wedge of gold, and a talent of silver and clothes. And you know what that old boy did? Korah went in and he stole all that stuff, took it. Now, normally, under that situation, pillage was acceptable, but they'd been commanded not to take any. But he saw it, and he wanted it, and he couldn't turn it down. And so he disobeyed God's commandment, and took it. And he had to hide it. Couldn't let anybody know he had it, but he had it anyway. And of course, it brought the wrath of God on his nation. There was a terrible price to pay for it. And when our greed drives us to get things by unlawful means, there is always a price to pay for it. A lot of times, to satisfy our greed, or the greed of our spouses, or the greed of our children, men work and work and work, and you know what happens? They end up losing the kids that they worked themselves to death to satisfy. And you know something? The kids never were happy. You've got to watch human nature. It's a treacherous thing. Several years ago, we went up to the mountains, took the grandkids up and went up to Cherokee. And we took them to this place, you know, where you get your picture made with the old-timey, put on the girl puts on the dress and stuff, and the boys put on a cowboy outfit or whatever. You get your picture made with a gun. We went to that. And we went to the Indian chief, and we got face painted. And we went to the bear's den, and we bought apples and stuff, and we fed the bears. And ate breakfast out and ate lunch out. And we went to the aquarium. I don't know where all we went. We stayed busy all day long. Ate breakfast out, ate lunch out, had snacks, ate ice cream, ate dinner out, stopped and had a nice steak on the way home. And we're about 50 miles from home, and one of the kids said, Pa, when we get home, can we stop and get a movie? It's just never enough. I don't care how much you do, it's never enough. There's just something about human that you got to keep that thing under control, or it'll get away from you, and you'll spend your life trying to have and acquire and do. Where am I at? In 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 51, the Bible said, and none were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in those days. Now that's when Solomon is king. And he has amassed so much wealth that they didn't count silver. They wouldn't even make their cups out of it. If it wasn't made out of gold and encrusted with jewels, it was just junk. Silver was nothing accounted of. Now that's inordinate wealth. Did he have enough? No. He had 666 talents of gold coming in from other countries every single year. And he had so much that he covered the boards in his house with gold. No telling how much money he had, but it wasn't enough. Did he knock off the tribute? Did he give it to the poor? No, he didn't. And neither does Oprah or any of them other folks. I understand Oprah Winfrey is the richest woman in the world. First Kings chapter 10, verse 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents. That's a lot of gold. Came every single year. And that's not counting all the other junk that was coming in. But he never, ever had enough. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible said, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof except the beholding of them with their eyes? You see, you get so much that you can't use it. Do you know where America's at? We're at the you lock it, you store it, you keep the key. Our attic is full. Our closets are full. Our storage building out back is full. Our garage is full. And we've got a space down at the you lock it, you store it place to store our junk. And that doesn't count our camper and our boat. Americans have got stuff stored in attics and basements and garages that they haven't seen or looked at in 10 years. And you know what? They're going shopping every week. They are still buying. Is this stuff worn out? Does it not work? Not a chance. It's perfectly fine. It just got superseded by a bigger, better, fancier chrome-plated model. Americans have an insatiable appetite for material possessions. Now, before you think I'm against you having anything nice, I'm not, and I don't think God is. But I do think God wants you to keep a handle on it. And I'm here to tell you, that's a hard thing to do. It's like trying to play with fire and never get burnt. It's like trying to take a drink and make sure you never come out of drunk. That desire for things, it's insidious. It gets in your bones. It gets in your mind. You don't realize how much time and energy you're putting into trying to get things, to acquire stuff. If you could step back and look at your life objectively and see how much time and energy you put into it, how much time you think about it, you'd probably be shocked about how much you want, how greedy we are. Now, there's a whole bunch more verses, but I want to give you 10 little things here real quick as observations about greed that you need to watch out for to keep yourself from getting in that trap. Number one, greed consumes the mind. You never buy anything without thinking about it first. Now, I know women are impulse buyers and some men are impulse buyers. But generally speaking, we see something and we say, I want one of them. And then we think about it and somebody else has got one. and we mess with it and we really like it. And then we don't say, I want one. We don't say, I want one. We say, I'm going to get me one. And then we're down at the store and we've got the plastic in our hand. And we say, I know I really shouldn't, but... And that's why America is slam over its head in credit card debt at 18% to 28%. Using credit cards is insanity. Don't get yourself in that mess. If you got one and you can use it and pay it off the first of every month, help yourself. They're convenient. But don't run up a bill on them things. Man, you get in that trap, you don't ever get out. But we spend time thinking about what we want. And buddy, the way we advertise in America and the things you ought to see, there's a lot of stuff to want. And some of it really is appealing. I wonder if somebody could do an analysis, say 10,000 people, middle-class Americans, if we could determine how many hours out of the day are spent thinking about or talking about what we're going to get. I bet it'd be downright embarrassing. Not only does greed consume your mind, greed steals your time. The time that you're spending thinking about what you want or what you're going to get or how you're going to get it could have been used on something profitable and worthwhile. I hear people say all the time, I don't have time to pray. People say all the time, I don't have time to read. Well, I tell you where you can free up some time. Quit wanting everything under the sun. Well, this is going over like a lead balloon. Y'all already made up your mind what you want, ain't you? If greed consumes our mind and steals our time, I'll tell you what else it does. It devours our energy. The energy, it takes energy to acquire things. Greed requires labor. Because to satisfy greed requires labor. Because to have things, you either have to work for it or steal it. And in either event, it takes energy. You think about it, then you labor for it, then you go get it. It takes your mind, it takes your energy, it takes your time. Time spent on greed is wasted time, wasted energy. I tell you this. Greed makes us oblivious to the needs of others. Let me tell you what you're not thinking about when you're thinking about what you want. You're not thinking about what anybody else needs. Remember the definition we read there? Where it said, you're going to get yours no matter what it does to others. Let me read it for you again. Wanting or taking all that one can get with no thought for others' needs. That's because when you're thinking about yourself, you're not thinking about somebody else. And as Christians, we ought to be thinking about somebody else. If your world revolves around you, you've got a really small world. If your world is... what can I get for me? What can I have for me? What can I enjoy for me? What will bring me pleasure? What can I acquire? What can I have? What can I store away? You've got a really poor, pathetic little world. It ought to be a whole lot bigger than that. Individually, we're not much in this big old pond. And if you restrict your little sphere of activity and influence to yourself, you've wasted most of your life. Greed puts on display our selfishness. Now, you may not see it in yourself, but I guarantee you can see it in others. if you're around people on a regular basis at work or family or friends or church, whatever, and you converse with them on a regular basis, you may not say to somebody else, but you probably think to yourself, they're selfish or they're greedy. Because they're always talking about what they're going to get. They're always talking about how they're going to get it. Or they're going to telling you what they just got. And you notice how self-centered they are. Their conversation tends to be about themselves. They don't ask you how you're doing, how your family's doing, how things going. Because they're always too busy talking about number one. God have mercy on the individual whose universe is themselves. Somebody say amen. Now, people who are around you pick up very quickly on your selfishness or on your greed. They do that because of your conversation. They do that because of your behavior. And selfishness coupled with greed is an ugly, ugly picture to behold. How many of us know somebody like that? Not here. Nobody raised their hand. Nobody knows anybody that's selfish or greedy. Well, I do. I know a bunch. Now, not only that, greed can deprive others. Because one of the things about greed is when we want it, we're going to get it for us, no matter what it what impact it has on others. And greed will take more for us than we need, which means somebody else comes up short. That's the reason I started the story with Eugene. He didn't care if the last little kid at the end of the line got a piece of chicken or not. He had all he wanted. He was oblivious to anybody else's needs. And if we had run short, he wasn't about to put one of his pieces back. Of course, knowing Eugene, nobody wanted it. But you understand the point. Selfishness can deprive others because you take more than your fair share. You take more than what's appropriate. One of the things the third world hates about America is our wealth. Because we're a small percentage of the world's population, and we have an inordinately large percentage of the world's goods. And they resent it. Say, why? Because they want some too. Amen. You say, well, nothing. They want it the same reason you wanted it. Not only does it deprive others or can deprive others, people who are greedy are reviled by those who are not. When you find somebody who is truly greedy, they're repulsive. Their attitude, their mannerism, their self-centeredness, their display of selfishness is just disgusting. When you see somebody who's not content with a reasonable amount and a decent living, but who are always consumed with having more, getting bigger, getting better. It's kind of ugly to behold, isn't it? You ever been around anybody like that? I mean, they're consumed with it. They talk about it all the time. They say, oh, if I had one of those, I'm going to get me one of those. Oh, I like that. Have you seen the new so-and-so? On and on and on and on. They want to say, shut up! Generally speaking, when somebody is truly greedy, most people don't like to be around them, don't care anything for them. They're repulsive. We revile them. Not only that, greed is not Christ-like. For God so loved the world that He gave. He didn't take. Now, the King of Glory was content to live in a carpenter's house. born in a manger, and walked in sandals up and down the shores of Galilee and around Jerusalem, most of the time not having a place to lay his head. Now, God doesn't suggest we live like that. God doesn't require that out of us. But if that's the example set by the Lord himself, and God's blessed you with a decent place to live and a warm house and a dry house and beans and taters and cornbread, you ought to thank God for it and be content with it. And if you can go about your daily life and God gives you opportunities and God lets you increase, that's fine. But if you're consumed with it and make it happen, and when I say make it happen contrary to God's will, or make it happen by using means that are not lawful or respectable or ethical, that's a shame, that's a tragedy, that's greed. I don't know many people who, having food and raiment, are therewith content. Always striving to be bigger or better or whatever. And it's a never-ending rat race. I was listening to the news the other day going to work, and there's some new super video game that somebody was supposed to be putting out. And they released it prematurely, and it sold so fast that they're thousands and thousands and thousands backlogged. There's just not enough. Because it's an improvement. Was it iBox or something? What? I knew you'd know. Yeah, that's what it was, Xbox 360. In short, so why? Because it's a new one. It does more than the last one. They got the old one and it still works good, but they can't get them fast enough. And there's another company fixing to release a new one here in the next few months, and they're already predicting a shortfall. These things cost, what, a couple hundred bucks? Yeah. So why? What's the big rush? It's new. It's bigger. It's better. It's something else I can have. Do I need it? No. Do I want it? Yes. Now, greed is a cancer that consumes from within. Now, all seven of these deadly sins are internal things. That's why they're the seven deadly sins. That's why individually they're worse than murder, which is an act that happens and then it's in history, even though there are consequences to it, I understand that. But it doesn't necessarily make you what you are. These seven deadly sins define you. And greed is an ugly definition. I don't want to be known as greedy. I worked for a fellow his name was Coley Peterson. He was a wealthy man. He had been a commander in the United States Navy, a graduate of the Naval Academy, and he was a really fine fellow. His father had started a business and made a ton of money. The old man died, and Chris P. resigned his commission and took over the company and slowly but surely run it in the ground. You know what they used to say about Chris P.? He wouldn't have had a dime if it hadn't been for his wife. She was greedy enough for two or three people. Mrs. Peak would never have enough money. There ain't enough on the planet. But they said about Chris P., they wrote in his yearbook, the year he graduated from Naval Academy, generous to a fault. I worked for that guy 3 or 4 years. And he worked to make a living. But money didn't make his world go around. Houses and cars didn't make his world go around. He liked his wife, and he liked his kids, and he liked his friends. I honestly believe that Chris P. would have been happy living next door to us. Wouldn't have bothered him a bit. Now, his wife would have had a heart attack. Chris P. wasn't greedy. God had blessed. He had plenty. But he wasn't selfish with it. He wasn't stingy with it. He did not live to acquire. He lived to enjoy life. Amen? Now, if you could keep your desire for this world's goods in that perspective, if you could live to enjoy life, and if the blessings come, if the doors are open, thank God for it and enjoy it without being consumed with the desire to have it, material possessions would never be a problem. You ever heard anybody talk about having to walk a tight wire? That's where greed is. Because there is in us that desire to have. And it's a necessary thing, lest we lay down and do nothing. But it is a monster if it gets turned loose. And so it's one of those things we have to monitor. We have to work at it. We have to keep an eye on it. We have to restrain it. Have to keep it in check. Lest it take over and we live our lives to have rather than living our lives to enjoy. You're getting all that, ain't you, buddy? All right. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, we are thankful for all that you've given us. And Lord, we all confess that there's just a host of things out there that our eye sees that our carnal desires wish to have and to acquire. Lord, I pray, give us reason and common sense to keep our wants in check. Not to become greedy, not to live our lives and be consumed with the acquisition of things. Help us to live our lives for thy glory and to enjoy what we have, rather than fretting over those things that we have not. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.